produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my Blog Talk Radio family all across the world. This is Regina Keenan. My talk show is Lioness Talks. It's not that easy. As I pray that everyone is having a blessed day, a blessed morning, afternoon, and a blessed evening, I pray that you guys are staying safe, using precautionary measures. With this coronavirus going on, let us not let the coronavirus control us, but let us be mindful that this is a serious virus going around, and we want to protect ourselves and our families. We want to protect our children, and we want to protect the people around us, because we don't want to go out there uncovered. And when I say uncovered, I mean we don't want to go out there in the world and not be prayed up. We have to pray before we walk out of the house. We should do this every day, but we should definitely do it during this time of the coronavirus scare, the coronavirus spread. I mean, it's taking this world by storm, but I'm going to be doing part two. And from my last broadcast. And when I say it's taking this world by storm, it's because I think somewhere along the line, we've lost some faith. And when I say we've lost some faith, I mean we've lost faith in God. I'm not saying everybody, but I'll put it like this. The topic of this show is, do you trust me? Part two, and that will explain what I'm trying to say. So, on the last broadcast, I did the 7 daily steps to trust in God. Now, I got up to number 6, so I'm going to start there. I'm going to start with number 6, and I pray that this blesses you. I pray that it blesses your family. I pray that it resonates in your spirit, because we go from day to day with our daily lives, but sometimes we don't realize that we lose faith. And I'm not saying totally, but we don't put 100% of our faith and our trust in God. And that's what I'm trying to say. That's why this topic is about, do you trust me? God is saying to us, with this coronavirus scare, do you trust me? Do you trust me that I am going to protect you and cover you and keep you safe, keep your family safe? Just put your trust in God and you'll be all right. But again, I say, God gave us senses, 5 senses, and he gave us wisdom. And we have to use it, and use it along with reading our word, studying our word, staying on our face, crying out to him and praying to him. You know, that helps. We didn't, you know, he didn't tell us to be stupid, you know. We just have to stay prayed up, basically. So again, I'm going to start with number six. And number six is very important, my family. Number six says, listen to the Holy Spirit. Glory. Ooh, glory to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. When Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to the church, he told his disciples that this counselor would be their spirit compass or their GPS. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I'm going to read that again. That is coming from John 14:26. God says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Glory to God. Do you trust him? That's what God is saying to us as his children. Do you trust me? Do you put your faith and your trust in me? I trust God. And I know sometimes I fall as far as praying and kneeling to God and praying every day. You know, sometimes I slip up. I do. I'm only human. And you guys know I love to be transparent. I'm not perfect. I'm saved by grace, but I'm not perfect. Now, as we go through our daily life, the same Holy Spirit guides us too. That means we don't have to go in it alone or hope we're getting it right. No, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and it protects us. Now, 2 Timothy 1:14 says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I'm going to read that again. 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, after all, the gift of the Holy Spirit to us believers, it reminds us that we can truly, truly, truly trust God. And that's what he's saying. Do you trust me? Do you trust me enough to lay your life in my hands? God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my family's life. I trust you with my every being, because I know without you and without faith, it's impossible to please God. It really is. Now, number seven says, rest in God's love. When we face a difficult world each day, like we are right now in a crisis, we can sometimes wonder if God even cares. Why do bad things happen? Where is God when I need him? Solomon reminds us that God never takes a break or leaves us to fend for ourselves. Glory to God. That is so true. God does not leave us. And I've heard someone say, well, if God is there, why is there a coronavirus? If God is there, why did my family member have to die? If God was there, why does my friends have to die? Lack of faith, but more so living in the flesh. We are not saved from our flesh. We're not delivered from our flesh. But we do have to ask God to give us strength, give us an understanding of his word and of the things that he do. I think we've all said it when a loved one has passed away. Why did God do it? Some people get mad. Some people get bitter. I've never asked God why he had to take a loved one from me. I may tell him I don't understand, but I know that we're all here for a limited time. Excuse me. We all have a number on the day that we're going to leave this earth. A number and a date. We don't know it, just like we don't know the day nor the hour that God is going to come back. That's why we just have to stay prayed up, stay in his faith, stay in his face, stay in his word, do what it is that he have called us to do, and have faith, believe God, and trust God. Do you trust me? God said, do you trust me? Ask yourself that. When you're going through a hard time, when you're going through your trials and tribulations, ask yourself, do you trust me? That's what God is asking us. Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Just trust me. Give me your life and you won't have to worry about anything. I'll fight your battles. I will handle every situation that you go through. This is what God says, because he loves us. We have an awesome daddy, y'all. And our daddy loves us so much. He has the agape love for us. And that's more love that we have for ourselves, our parents, our children. And I say that because God laid his life down for us. Will we lay our lives down for our children? Will we lay our lives down for our parents? You got to ask yourself that sometimes. I've asked that to some people before, and they're like, no, I will not die for you. You know, I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. You know what I'm saying? That's why we'll never have the agape love, because we're not going to go there and let somebody hang us on the cross and stab us and just do what they want to have their way with us. We don't have that kind of love for anybody. I love the Lord, and I pray that I have agape love for him. You know, I ask him to continue to give me strength every day. If I'm lacking in any area, strengthen me, because I want to love God the way he loves me. Now, Proverbs 3:12 says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. That's Proverbs 3:12. Even in the midst of turmoil, like we're going through right now, God sticks with us. And he uses those challenges to shape us and mold us. When we understand that, our perspective completely flips. No longer do we see our setbacks as failures. We see them as moments when God, as our loving Father, works on us. We see our setbacks as a step up to the next level that God has taken us to. Glory to God. Now, that's exactly why we can trust in the Lord with all our hearts, because he cares for us each and every day. He said it, and I believe him. He gives us what we need to thrive. He don't always give us everything we ask for, but he gives us what we need to thrive. Now, he pours blessings after blessings after blessings upon us. And of course, following each of these daily steps, it isn't easy. It's not easy. He never said it would be easy. That's why Jesus said, we have to deny ourselves and follow him. Matthew 16:24 said it best. Trusting God takes a wholehearted commitment from dawn to dusk, but we're never alone in it. And surely I am with you always, to the end of the age. That's Matthew 28:20. God says, and surely I am with you always, to the end of the age. If you believe that and keep that in your heart, you're going to be all right. Because this coronavirus can't beat God. Nobody can beat God. Now, trusting God when it doesn't make sense, y'all. Psalms 118:5-6 says, God says, trust me even when it makes no sense. Psalms 118:5-6, I called upon the Lord for my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in an open place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can people do to me? God said he's on our side. We just have to trust him. We have to give him our all and trust him. The psalmist David was in great distress when he prayed this heartfelt prayer unto God. Because of David's personal prayer, life, and personal relationship with God, he was able to boldly confess that the Lord was on his side and he will not fear man or what he can do to him. He said that he would not fear man. We gotta be like David. Don't fear man. Don't fear these diseases and all these things that man have put out here to scare us and to put fear in our heart. See, our enemies are on trial. Okay? They're on trial. Trouble on every hand. Have you been there before? I know I have. I've been there. Are you there now? I know I am. But God says to you and I, seek my face and trust me. God is asking us, do you trust me? You have to sit back and think about that thing. Do I trust God? Do I really put my faith in God? Do I really give God everything that I can give him? Through everything that I've been through, can I honestly say that I have given God my all? Can I honestly say that I trust everything that God does? Guys, we can't. We can't, family. We can't say that because if we did, when a loved one passes, we wouldn't question God. I mean, he gives us the opportunity to question him to a certain extent. You know, some people, when they lose a loved one, they get mad at God. They get angry with God. And they become non-believers. You cannot take what happens to you. Now, some things the devil brings about. Excuse me. Some things the devil brings about. Everything, it's not from God. And that's the thing that we misunderstand. We think that everything that happens is from God. No, the devil is out there working too. He has his little disciples too. You know, he has his little army that's out there working and causing turmoil all over the earth, you know. And you just got to know and have the discernment to know what comes from God and what does not. And if you don't understand how to hear God's word or know when God is speaking to you, just pray and ask God to allow you to know when he's talking and to know when the devil is talking. That's having a discernment. We got to know when it's coming from God and when it's not. And I trust God enough, and I learned a long time ago that little voice in my head that I hear whenever I get ready to do something that's stupid. You know, you hear that voice and you're like, wait a minute, who was that? I remember when I first received the gifts of speaking in tongues, I was in church at Bible study on my knees. We was having 6 o'clock prayer and it was funny. I started speaking in tongues and I jumped up, not literally, I held my head up and I started looking around. I was like, okay, who said that? But around me, everybody was on their knees praying. It's funny now, but I didn't understand it then. Everybody was on their knees praying. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that was. So I went back to praying and it happened again. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I'm looking around like, who is that? What is that? So God had to tell me, you have the gift of speaking in tongues now, my daughter. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Now, when I went down, when I decided to get baptized again, I went down in that water and I came up a brand new person. Because, you know, God says when you go down in the waters of baptism, you leave those sins there, right? I came up speaking in tongues. I received the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, and I felt like a newborn baby. And that day, I said, God, I will always trust you. I will always believe in you, no matter what I go through and all those things that I went through in my past. I now know that I did not go through those things in vain. I didn't go through them in vain. You brought me through those situations because I have a testimony to tell. And I say this, and this is just a sidebar. I say this, and it's all tied into trusting God and having faith and believing in God, because we have to go through these things, you know, in life. And right then, I knew that I had somebody that would never leave me. I used to, as I grew up, I had my grandmother and I had my uncle. They were my favorite. Me and my mother didn't always get along. So my grandmother, my uncle, they were my favorite people. You know, when I was going through something, I always knew I could go to them. And my uncle would tell me, you know, you got to have faith and trust God. And you got to talk to God. He said, it's okay. You know, sometimes I would talk to myself. He said, it's okay. He called me one day. He says, okay to talk to yourself now, but don't start answering yourself because I'm going to think you're crazy. You know, but I said all that to say this. You just got to have faith and trust in God and believe that no matter what you're going through, God is going to bring you through it. God is a deliverer and defender of his people. Psalms 45:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Cry out to God. It's okay. He wants us to cry out to him. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter what's happening in this world, no matter what's happening in our country, the call is to trust God. He says, trust me. Trust me. It's God's response to his people today. Trust me. This coronavirus is no accident. Trust me. Have faith in me. Believe in me. God is trying to get us to come closer to him by any means necessary. If it has to be a coronavirus, okay, it's got to be a coronavirus. And I'm not sitting here saying that God sent this coronavirus. That's not what I'm saying. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is God wants us to put our faith and our trust in him. He says no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what is happening in this world, the call is to trust God. And I'm repeating it. Yes, I am, because I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. He says, trust me. Trust me. That's God's response to his people on today. Trust me. I know this coronavirus is going around. I know people are dying. I know people are in the hospital. I know people are getting sick from it. I know my people are scared, but trust me. Have faith and believe in me. That is what our Father is saying to us. Trust him. He has never failed us yet. Psalms 37:1-3 says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be jealous of those who do injustice. For they will quickly wither like the grass and fade like the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good. God is saying, trust me, and I will be with you. Trust me, and I will never leave you. Trust me, I will fight your battles. Trust me is the faith call on today. People of God, trust him. Oh my God. You know, when I was putting this message together, I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to tell your people? What is it? And this isn't what I had planned to talk about. Like I said, this is part two. I said, what do you want me to tell your people, God? And he said, do you trust me? I think that's so powerful. Do you trust me? The coronavirus is running rapid and it is hitting God's people. But he said, do you trust me? The battle has been fought, y'all. The battle has been fought, and the victory has been won by God in heaven. He alone has all power, my people, on today. Trust God. Trust God. He'll be with you. Trust me, he says, and I will be with you. Trust me, he says, and I will never leave you. Trust me, he says, I will fight your battles. Trust me, he says, is the faith call on today, people of God. Trust him. Trust God. I'm going to leave this with you. Today, my God, I love you all. The battle has been fought, and the victory has been won by God in heaven. He alone has all power. Trust God. Trust God. This coronavirus has nothing. Nothing on God. I don't want to preach today, but Lord, y'all, I'm telling you, it's staring in my spirit. Glory to God. Trust me. Trust me. That's what he's saying. God said, trust me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be there with you always, even to the end of the earth. This man loves us so much. This coronavirus is running rampant. But trust me, it cannot go any farther than the Lord will allow it to go. It will not hurt no more people than God will allow it to. It's like in Job. When Job said, God, why is the devil taking all my family? Why are you doing this to me? And his wife said, curse God and die. Job said, no, I will not. I trust this man and I know he is there for me. I know he said he will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that he will only allow the devil to do so much to me. And Job did not listen to his wife. He listened to the Lord. And people of God, on today, we have to listen to the Lord. We have to hear our Father calling. He's calling on us. He's reaching down from heaven and smiling at us. He's looking down from heaven and he's saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? This virus is running rampant, but do you trust this coronavirus or do you trust me? Let me tell y'all something. I'm a germaphobe, but trust and believe. I trust God. I don't trust the coronavirus. I don't trust those that are talking about the coronavirus. I thank them for the knowledge and of the understanding of this virus that's running rampant right now. But I put my faith and I put my all in my God, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, because I know he loves me. And I know in his word, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be there with you always, even through this coronavirus. I will be there with you always, even to the end of the earth. My God, today, family, I ask you, do you trust me? Do you trust God? When you walk out your door today, pray. Before you walk out that door, say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I put my life in your hands. Lord, I give my all to you. I put my family in your hands. Lord, I put my leadership in your hands. I trust you, God, because that's what he said. Do you trust me? Do you trust me enough to know that I won't let this coronavirus go but so far? Do you trust me? And know that I won't allow it to harm you. There's a limit to what the Lord will allow the devil to do. There's a limit. But this coronavirus has got people staying in the house. It's God's way of saying, do you trust me? I'm putting you in the house with your family so that you can worship me, so that you can give your all to me, so that you can put your faith in me. Bring your family together. Do you trust me? Family, I love you. I pray that you trust God, that if your faith has fallen short, and it all happens to us all, but trust God. Trust God. Take this time that He's given us to be in the house, to pray, to fast, to spend time with Him. God wants to get the glory. Put all those burdens behind you, that heavy weight you've been carrying around. Glory to God, family. I love you. I love you. Until the next time, this is Regina Keenan. Lioness Talks. It's not that easy. Do you trust me? God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Happy Tuesday morning. Thank you for joining and listening to With Your Success in Mind. This is your host, Cheryl Cormier, coming to you from Houston, Texas. And I want to welcome you to today's program, which is made possible by two truly remarkable ladies. Our show producer, Kayla Padgett, CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. And Josie Hopkins, CEO and founder of Josie's Inspiration Radio Network, USA World. It's a blessing to be a part of their vision to reach, teach, and empower God's people. You're in for a tremendous treat today because joining me is the phenomenal poet, spoken word artist, and author, Minister Ty Gray L. Good morning, Ty, and welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. It's great to be back with Your Success in Mind. I need to keep my success in mind.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Every time I talk to you and I listen to your story, I am more enthralled. I'm blessed, and I just always want to know more. So, everyone, if you remember, Ty was a guest on with us a few weeks ago, and we heard your feedback and request to hear more of his great works of poetry. And we're going to learn about his newest project release, Televised Devolution. But first, let me get started. Let me do this great man justice by sharing just a bit of his bio. Minister Ty Gray L. is an internationally renowned storyteller, author, and recording artist dedicated to restoring the heritage and legacy of Africans in America. He is the first designated poet laureate in the 200-year history of the AME Church and poet in residence at T for Two Production. Ty earned a bachelor's degree in streetology on the asphalt of the District of Columbia, a master's degree in survival in the ghettos of North America, and a PhD in psychology from the University of Adversity and Hard Knocks. While some may laugh at Ty's academic achievements, having once been labeled ineducable, he is as proud of his accomplishments as anyone holding degrees from Howard, Harvard, or even Yale. He is an author, activist, lecturer, husband, and proud father of four. Rising from the depths of heroin addiction, incarceration, and despair, then being labeled ineducable, to becoming the author of several books, short stories, screenplays, and now to be called by some the vessel through which our ancestors speak, Ty Gray L., as an ordained minister of the gospel, lecturer, and poet, storytelling griot, has appeared on The Michael Bazin Show, The Steve Harvey Morning Show, BET, the Pacifica Radio Network, and Sirius XM, as well as featured in The Washington Post. He is a two-time spoken word Billboard Award winner, and his soon-to-be-released spoken word album, Televised Devolution, has Grammy written all over it. He confronts the issues of racism and bigotry with poetic compassion, dramatic storytelling, and historical fact while weaving a tapestry of tolerance and hope. Ty's presentations are like a slice of lecture, a slice of poetry, and a slice of theater that all come together like grandma's sweet potato pie. I am so grateful for this opportunity to introduce Ty Gray L. again.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. My cheeks are aching from smiling so hard.
Well, you should be very, very proud of all that you've done. Many of us paused this past weekend to celebrate the fabulous fathers all around the world. And I wanted Ty to be able to share one of his special pieces in honor of fathers, the realest real men on the planet. So sit back and relax. Here's Ty with Fatherless by Design. But first, before you recite it, Ty, tell us what inspired you to write this particular piece.
Yes, well, I did write it in honor of Father's Day. But what prompted me to write it, Cheryl, was Al Sharpton was on Bill O'Reilly's show. And Bill O'Reilly, I don't know if your audience knows, but he's not really one of my favorite people. Anyway, he's interviewing Al Sharpton. He says to Reverend Al, it seems the biggest problem facing your people is that 7 out of 10 households don't have fathers in them. And when he said it with such disdain and disrespect, and the racial overtone was just, it prompted me to start thinking about why is that a fact? Why is it that 7 out of 10 households don't have fathers in them? We're not genetically predisposed to not want to be fathers, so there must be some reason. And so the reasons are delineated in this poem called Fatherless by Design. It was by no means accident. The whole slavery Jim Crow incident was designed to keep black families apart. Because as long as we're divided, someone else will always decide it, and we're left behind before we even start. Now let's look at the implications and results in situations of having no father around. With no model or instruction, you're left to your own destruction. With no guidance, you rarely get off the ground. Now being fatherless by design, black boys are left behind. We are role model and mentor depleted. And with no pattern for our minds and no way to interpret signs, we start the game mentally defeated. With no father to teach you truth and no blueprint advising youth, the result is exactly what's expected, and that's hurting people, with generation after generation neglected. Now, having very few examples, and seldom seeing samples, it's a miracle we still exist at all, yet a testament to our resolve that we will this problem solve and proof We rise each time we fall. Yes, we have been fatherless by design, but now has come the time for black men to wake up across this nation. It's time to take the reins of our future once again and design ourselves a better situation. So man up, my brother, man up and be a good father.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. And I know that even based on your own personal upbringing, we talked the last time you were on the show about, you know, having been born with scarlet fever and being raised by a single mom and sometimes by your grandmother in one of the most notoriously dangerous U.S. cities. How has being fatherless, not knowing your father, how did that impact your childhood and shaped you as you grew up?
Well, several things in there. One is I did know my father. My father just left when I was three, so he wasn't there to raise me and guide me and do those things that I just alluded to in the poem, because he wasn't there to put, you know, to give me the instructions, to tell me which way to go and what to do, what not to do, you know, who to look up to. And so my role models became those people that I saw on the streets, the people who drove the Cadillacs, the hustlers, the pimps, the drug dealers. And that one of the most notorious neighborhoods in the country happened to be the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. At one time, Washington, D.C., well, three or four times, Washington, D.C. was actually the murder capital of the world. Don't hold me to this particular statistic because I'm not quite sure what year, but like 1988 or 89 or one of those years, D.C. had 530-plus murders in 365 days. I remember literally going to a funeral home to see one brother who was murdered, and I went in the wrong parlor and saw another brother from my neighborhood who had been murdered. Went into the next parlor, and that was not the person that I went to see, but another brother murdered from my neighborhood. So there were three different people in the same funeral home at the same night murdered from my neighborhood. They used to call it Vietnam. So I really was impacted by that, you know, by all of those circumstances. And for me to be talking to you on this phone now, I mean, on this show now, is no less than a miracle. As a matter of fact, a lot of people who see me, they can't believe, because they said that at 12, they thought, you know, I wouldn't make it to 15. At 15, I doubt if he makes it to 18. At 18, I doubt if he makes it to 21. At 21, I doubt if he makes it to 25. And so here I am at 67, alive and well. So all I can say to that, Cheryl, is that God is good. You know, I just was able to overcome those things through getting my education.
Wow. You know, you've lived such a full life, and having gone through those experiences, you mentioned, you know, turning to the streets and to the hustlers for, you know, looking up to them as role models. When did it switch for you? Was it when you were introduced to poetry that some of your perspective started to really be informed and to carry you forward in terms of what you were going to grow into and the man?
You know, that's a great question, because my life has been so dichotomous. You know, growing up in Langston Terrace, which is the first all-black public assisted housing project in the United States, it actually was the pilot program for public assisted housing. I literally lived, my first 12 years, I lived on one street in Langston Terrace. And my next 13 years, from 12 till I was 25, I lived over top of the Langston Library. And I thought that all those years that it was named for Langston Hughes. And so Langston Hughes became my favorite poet. My mother used to force me to read, even though I wasn't going to school. And so that dichotomy of, you know, the streets, but my mother and this education sort of fused themselves, if you would. And I'm grateful that the education and my mother's side won out over those things, although it was a battle, because, you know, I I'm not ashamed to tell people, you know, I ended up using it at 12 years, at 13 years old, I was actually introduced to heroin. At 25 years old, I found myself in federal correctional institutions. And so for 15 years, I used heroin. And so it was a real struggle. But during all of those times, I still had this passion for words. And I was always able to put words together. And I don't know what they call it where you came from. We used to call it joning. I used to get paid to jone on people, ragging on people, you know, that kind of thing. So I've always had this love for the spoken word and for written words, because, you know, I've read extensively, even though I, for all intents and purposes, quit formal school at 14 years old. I think I mentioned the last interview that Roberta Flack, the singer Roberta Flack, was my last homeroom teacher in Brown Junior High in Washington, D.C. And I think I was 14 years old. And it's interesting because when we talk about fatherless by design, if my dad had been there, I'm sure I would have continued in school. But I literally never went back to school from the time I was 14 years old. And you wonder where the truant officers were. And you wonder, you know, how that is even possible. But my mother worked two jobs in the hood, you know, trying to make ends meet. And she just couldn't make me go to school. I had no interest in it. And so to your question, the love of spoken word and the passion for poetry was developed, you know, by Langston Hughes and people like Maya Angelou and Claude McKay, Paul Robeson, Paul Lawrence Dunbar, people like that, Amiri Baraka. And my love for my own people was developed by people like Dr. John Henry Clark, and Noble Drew Ali, and Jesus the Christ himself. And so
right,
it's a lot. I mean, you know, I have lived a really, really full life when you think back on it. I seldom get a chance to reflect like this, but it's interesting, Cheryl. Thank you. Thank you for this introspection, because it's been quite a ride.
Well, I mean, and it just really shows that it doesn't matter where you come from or where what circumstances were. It really is about making up your mind, being committed and doing something different and taking advantage of opportunities, and which you have certainly done. And I know, as the father of four, one question that I'm curious about is, how did you make that transition, and how did your experiences influence the type of father you were determined to be to your own children?
Well, you know, Father's Day being Sunday past, my dad actually passed away at 87 years old last April of 2018. And he and I actually got very close after I got grown, after I turned like 35, 40 years old, we became close, and I was there. I was actually at his deathbed. And I resolved, though, while I was angry with him before we got close, I resolved that I would not ever do what he did, because I realized that the only reason I ever used heroin is because my father wasn't there. If my father was there, I had such a healthy, respectful fear for this guy that I would never have done anything like that had he been there. Having that knowledge, I resolved within myself, if I have any children ever, then I will take care of them. And that's what I did. I have four biological children. I have one daughter and three sons, but I raised eight children in blended families, and raised them to the place where, you know, they've gone on to college and the Air Force, and they're all doing quite well. And so it was a resolution as a result of the pain that I went through. Because when you're incarcerated, you look back and like, man, how did I get here? I don't think I would have been here if I was a father. I will not allow that to happen to my own children. So that's
right.
Where that came from, sure.
Right,
that's
right.
Where it came from.
You know, In just thinking about it and reflecting, I love that phrase that you use, a respectful fear. You know, I'm 60 years old, and there are certain things I still won't do or say to this day out of respectful fear of my mother.
Yes, ma'am. I understand that. Yes. My father, who he left when I was three, but, you know, he showed up periodically, and he was, everybody loved him in on my mother's side of the family. So, you know, he was there, but he wasn't there to do the raising. But
right,
I mean, this guy was 6'2", 250 pounds. He wasn't, you know, so anytime if he said something, I moved. And the same thing with my mother, who was the complete opposite. She was 5 foot tall and 100 pounds. I don't know how that came about, but anything she said, and my grandmother, right today, if well, rest their souls, they're not here now, but you know, I still have a healthy respect and fear for anybody that's older than me as a result of what they put in me. And I think that's one of the things that's missing, you know, in today's society, in our modern society with our millennials, is that too many of them are raising themselves. You know, babies raising babies. And but that's another show. That's a complete another story.
I know. I just love how our conversations, they can go off on different tangents, everybody, and it's because we just enjoy being able to listen and learn from each other. I just truly enjoy all of our conversations, but I want to make sure that we get to a couple of things, and one is that you've taken your work of art, Breath of My Ancestors, which I know that you produced that a long time ago, but you're now turning that into a podcast. Is that right?
Yeah, as a result of requests from people. Okay, so the Breath of My Ancestors book, you can get it in the ebook or you can get the hard copy if you go to tigrayl.com. Shameless plug. But I wrote the book about 10 years ago, and it's a book of poems, essay observations, short stories, and slave narratives. And I have performed out of the book in several places, and people have always asked me, man, you need to do your own radio show. Man, you need to do this. And so this podcast thing, which, you know, I just learned about podcasts a couple of years ago, when they started to become popular, people said, Ty, you need to do a podcast. You need to do that Breath of My Ancestors podcast. So finally, as a result of all of these requests, I'm releasing, it actually was supposed to be released by now. Sure, but you know, I'm not the producer of the podcast. I'm just the content creator, and the technical stuff that goes into putting those things together is just not my lane. It's not my lane. I wish it was, but it's not. I can't do the technical side of it, and so it's delayed. And it should be within the next 30 days. We will be releasing the podcast. So it's Breath of My Ancestors. Spoken word like you've never heard, the podcast that broadcasts voices from the past. Standing on the shoulders of our ancestors, brave, no longer Negroes, no longer slaves. Breath of My Ancestors.
Excellent. Everybody, just to make sure everybody knows, you can get more information about the upcoming release, the launch, I should say, of the podcast, and to actually get those dates and get more information on tygrayl.com, as well as upcoming information on upcoming speaking events. I know you're speaking at a Juneteenth event coming up next week, and some other things that are on your calendar. Anything else you want to mention before we talk a little bit about televised evolution?
Well, no, except that I speak all over. And anybody interested in booking me can go to tygrayl.com, tygrayl.com for bookings, because I love doing spoken word.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. And I'll mention that again. We want everybody to go to tygrayl.com. So let's get to televised evolution, because I want to make sure we get this in here. This is so exciting, and I'm excited for you, knowing that you're getting ready to release this major project, the spoken word CD with musical accompaniment. It's 10 tracks.
and it's also going to include a book of poetry. So how excited are you these days?
Well, I'm very excited. I'm very excited. As a matter of fact, my excitement is being tempered because this project has been in the works for about a year. But, you know, when you're doing something of this magnitude, a lot of people don't know how much goes into the production of it. And there's actually been to 3 different states recording, the writing. I mean, this project has a full gospel accompaniment, orchestral, I think that's how you say that, has a full orchestra behind some of the pieces. And so it has been quite the production. And I had no idea how much goes into a production like this, but yeah, I'm very, very excited about it. Yes, ma'am.
Good, good. And I know you've had to work to keep your energy up and everything as it's gone through that process. But I am so glad the day is coming that the world is really going to get a chance to experience this great body of work that you've put together. So why don't I just turn it over to you now, and I know you want to recite for us the title track, which is Televised Devolution. So here you go, everybody, Ty Dory L with Televised Devolution.
Yes, well, the piece was written as a result of Gil Scott Heron. Those of you who are not old enough would not remember, but those of you who are might remember. Gil Scott Heron was a powerful poet and spoken word artist, and he put most of his pieces to music. And one of them was entitled, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. And so, in thinking about The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, it dawned on me that while the revolution might not be televised, devolution is streaming right before our eyes. We are devolving on some aspects right before our eyes. So this piece is entitled Televised Devolution. It said the revolution will not be televised, but devolution streams right before our eyes. There are warmongers, usurers, blue-blooded kings, barbarians promoting violence. There's ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Westworld robots on a home office box, airing dark forces with civil unrest and scandals encouraged because Father knows best. With instructions on murder and how to get away, Lifetime aired 8 homicides today. There's CNN pundits telling true lies while Netflix streams presidential alibis. There's FX, Stars, and AMC2. And Dexter's on Showtime with a blood-splattered clue. OWN extols the haves and have-nots, while Hallmark presents kidnapping plots. There's TMZ, BET, MTV, all broadcasting imminent social downfall. There's Walter White, Breaking Bad, and The Walking Dead, and Powers got drug-addicted ghosts. Widespread. There are 13 reasons why you better call Saul in True Blood and Stranger Things lurking round the mall. There's Oscars and Emmys and Golden Globes and Grammys and Tonys and sequin gown robes. There's Veep, Modern Family, This Is Us. An Apprentice had trumped up tweets we don't trust. Greenleaf's got pastors womanizing and Big Brother's watching. While Queen Sugar's rising, there are crooks on the blacklist with white gangsters named Red and remote control networks programming our heads like Lucifer, Gotham, and Cookie's Empire. There are lethal weapons and Chicago fires. There are games of Jeopardy, contestants with criminal minds. There are family feuds amidst Shark Tank designs. There are South Park, The Simpsons, and Futurama. All cartoon predictions of toxic karma. Yeah, winter is coming. It's all a Game of Thrones. You can catch the finale on the newest iPhone. It said the revolution will not be televised while devolution streams right before our eyes.
Oh, my word. Look, I have to be first in line to get the complete CD. There's so much that you said in there. I'd have to read it several times, I'm sure, to unpack it and just really just be able to marinate on all of that. That was absolutely phenomenal, Ty. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like the Bible talks about the principalities, and that's what we're up against. And those, I watch the TV shows and I watch what's streaming into our minds. And I just wrote that because we really have to be careful. We have to be careful.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We got to be careful of what we feed our minds, just like we have to be careful of what we feed our bodies, because it's all going to be manifested in one way or another.
And that's, I think that's the perfect segue to "With Your Success in Mind."
Yes, my brother, yes it is. Well, everybody, we've reached the end of our show for today. I pray you were inspired and uplifted by our program. I hope it confirms for you that there is hope, and sometimes your greatest blessings are born from the depths of despair. I recently read a meme conversation between two men looking out at the ocean, and one man said, "Enjoy, you only live once." The other man said, "No, you only die once. You live every day." So my thought for you today is to live every day and to make the best choices that you can to have the greatest impact on not only your own life, but on the lives of those around you. So thank you again, my friend, Gray Tyell, for sharing and blessing us with your story and profound work today. Be blessed and know that we're anxiously awaiting the full CD and your podcast and anything else you have to offer. And again, I want to encourage everybody to go to Ty's website, tygrayell.com, for more information. With that, we're signing off as you listen to the musical stylings of saxophonist Tom Braxton. The song is "Tuesday Mornings" from his album Next Chapter. You can learn more about his complete body of work on tombraxton.com or follow him on Facebook at Tom Braxton Music. Mark your calendar for our upcoming shows. We will not have a show, however, on July 2nd, but we will return on July 16th with a brand new show for you to enjoy. Be sure to tune in every other Tuesday to receive encouragement, inspiration, nuggets of experience, and tools to help you navigate through your success journey. You can get information about upcoming guests, join the conversation, and learn more about our program on CherylACormier.com. This has been your host, Cheryl Cormier, where everything shared and everything offered is done explicitly with your success in mind.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.